And taking a look at those current conditions here at the Cooper Farm Studio, 96.7 The Wave. We've got a barometer reading 30.09 inches. Winds are east-southeast around 7 miles per hour. We've got sunny skies on this Monday morning and a temperature of 63 degrees. Radar weather forecast this hour brought to you by Wayne Healthcare. All right, Kevin, in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. Welcome back to Coldwater. Now, we are doing back to school all this week from Coldwater Schools with a special thank you to Rage Refrigeration, Mixed Sports and Ernst Apparel, along with Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf. Also, thank you to Lottox Jewelry. We begin this great week with Mr. Mater, Doug Mater, the superintendent. Doug, I understand you have brought a student with you today named David Dews, right?
Yeah, we got David here. It's just a good idea to hear some reflection from students. So I'll just get it over to David and see what he has to think.
David, first question I have for you is, can you tell us what grade are you in?
Currently, I'm in sixth grade.
In sixth grade. What do you like the most about coming to school at Coldwater?
Well, I really love the sports programs, and I love going to the games, and I really just love the whole community.
What sports do you play?
I just joined a basketball team. I like to play football and baseball.
Excellent. You think Doug, future star, right?
Future star. He's going to be an outstanding student as well.
What about when you get older? Have you thought about what you might want to do for a career someday?
I'd like to be a financial planner.
Okay. I will, first of all, I won't bet against you. I think you can do that. And I'll remember your name if I need one down the road. How about that?
Sounds great.
I tell you what, Doug, that's pretty good. You got a sixth grader and they already know what they want to do, huh?
Yeah, that's really what makes Coldwater stand out. We start early. We want kids to find their passion and what they really want to do with their life. And I think if you create the right atmosphere, those things just come naturally.
Now, David, question for you also. In addition to yourself, do you have any siblings that go here? Did your parents go to Coldwater?
So my mom went to St. Henry, and my dad did go to Coldwater. And I have two siblings, Thomas and Will. Will is in second grade and Thomas is in fourth grade.
Excellent. Because we get that a lot, right, Doug? A lot of second generation students, right?
Yeah, and again, makes Coldwater community that much more special. We have over 60% of our staff members that are alum from Coldwater. And just gives you an extra sense of pride and commitment to do the right thing by students every day.
That's what it's all about. And I'm glad that you brought David, because what better ambassador for what you're doing here than one of your students?
100%. You know, and sometimes when you get a young teenager and put them in front of a mic, you kind of hold your breath. But I knew with David, we'd be okay this morning.
I tell you what, he sounds better on the microphone than I did in sixth grade.
Absolutely.
You got some valuable experience there for you. Thanks, David. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Doug, what I'd like to ask you is, it's hard to believe it's been 2 years since we last did back to school here. But from then to now, you know, over these last couple of years, can you share with us what are some of the things that have gone on the last couple of years here at Coldwater? I know there's been a lot of great stuff.
Well, a lot of great stuff. And it's hard to believe it's been 2 years since you were back here. One of the biggest thing is our community commitment to supporting our schools. We passed a tax levy and just gave us a little bit time to breathe. There's a lot of stuff going on in the legislators in terms of school financing. But if you constantly worry about that, you become paralyzed. So we just rolled up our sleeves and got to work. We finished our strategic plan. Inside that strategic plan, we talk about the curriculum mapping, which is done. We talked about a curriculum review that we have begun the process. We're actually partnering with an old colleague of mine who's going to come in on our PD days and talk about the curriculum review, look at vertical articulation, which means that each grade level will communicate with the one above them and one below them to make sure that we have seamless transitions, but also look at any gaps that we may have. At the same time, we're going to look at AI integration, artificial intelligence, on the staff end, and how do we introduce that to students to use properly and put guardrails on those. We're going to be able to communicate with families on how we're going to do that, and maybe even families will learn a little bit to use it in everyday life.
You know, I just, a good life lesson in what you just said. You don't want to become paralyzed by things you don't know what's going to happen. You got to control what you can control, right? Don't worry about things you can't control, or you're going to find yourself not in the game, so to speak.
100%. And that's why we really are putting a 10 to 15 year plan together for Coldwater District to ensure that they never get to a point where they're worried about their infrastructure. And we have established for the future administrators, the future teachers, the future students, that they're going to have a sustainable infrastructure. At the same time, we're really committed to making changes in how we approach education. And that's why we're doing the curriculum review, vertical articulation. We're going to emphasize social-emotional learning standards, which really combine with executive functioning skills. Some people call it power skills. And it's all connected to our portrait of graduate. So we really do have a really good plan. Now it's to get in and execute that plan.
How about also when you talked about guardrails and AI? I certainly agree. We all use it now. But I think what it's going to come down to is we're going to know or need to know when it's appropriate to use and when it needs to be reined in a little bit. And also at times when it needs to be a tool but not everything. Like, it can help you in some ways, but you still have to refine what it told you. You still have to put in the right things, you know?
That's right. And that's why we want to teach students the proper way to utilize these things. If you go back in time, I went to school before calculators. So when the calculator first came out, there were teachers picketing outside of schools saying, don't let calculators into our schools because you can't carry a calculator into a grocery store. Well, guess what? All of our phones have calculators in them. And the same thing when Google came out, don't let them use it. But now it's just part of what we do. But you use it properly and help you with your production, your productivity, all those different aspects. And it's our job as educators to enhance students' learning. And I really believe that AI will help us enhance learning, not only for our top achievers, but our middle achievers and our lower level learners, to really differentiate what we're doing in the classroom.
Sometimes I think, I haven't written a paper. I couldn't tell you the last time, Doug. But years ago when, much like you, I mean, I'm not a spring chicken either. We didn't have the internet when I grew up. You had to go to the library and, use the Dewey Decimal System in the card catalog to do your research. Then the internet came along. And now AI will look for you for citations. But again, if you use it for that seems okay. Don't be having it write your paper either.
100%. And, I just went to a conference and they were showing different applications of AI in the classroom. And when the student goes home, one example was the student had the rubric, which is like the grading sheet for what the teacher would look like for their paper. They wrote their paper, uploaded both of those into AI, and it gave the student suggestions on how to improve their paper. That's how we should be utilizing it, not for initial work, all those things. And those are the guardrails we're going to put on our students.
And here's the thing. I think that's such a great idea. I've never been in education, but I know one thing that never works is when we tell people not to do something. They're going to do it anyways.
That's right. And, we've come so far, and I don't want to keep harping on my age, but when I was in college, my papers were done on a manual typewriter. Nowadays you have a computer, it's got spell check, you got Grammarly that corrects grammar, all those different things. So there's tools already out there that students use it, and if we teach them properly, they will be able to execute the way we want them to execute.
And I don't know about you, but I don't miss bottles of whiteout.
That is correct. And I had a lot of them.
You and I both. And I don't know too many teachers who miss the Ditto machine either. But
I would agree.
They do like their smart boards. They do like the ability sometimes, I'm sure, go back if they're teaching history and show them clips that you can get now that you couldn't easily get a long time ago. I'm sure also when it comes to AI, they appreciate the assistance in lesson planning and some of the questions they can come up with for a test.
Yeah, and times are different. I mean, students are different today than they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're living in a multimedia generation. They need active stimuli when they're learning. And, one huge cost to a district is technology. There are some that say, just put chalkboards back in the classroom. Well, Then we're not preparing them for the future.
And, no, it'd be no different than going back to the old one-room schoolhouse, right? We don't live that way anymore.
That's right. And, you know, computers used to be on cassette tapes for memory, and now it's not. But we're doing a really nice job in Coldwater to make sure that our classrooms are suited and such that students have some of the most updated technology to look at, to use, so that when they leave us, our ultimate goal is, yes, to have a productive citizen when they leave us.
That's right. But well-rounded.
But have a student that is experienced in a portfolio that they can go do whatever they want to do, whether that's military, workforce, to college, whatever. And that's our real goal now, is to make sure that we have the programming correct to ensure students have that path for the future. That's why we love our partnership with TriStar, because a lot of our students go out there and they're getting applicable skills to walk right into a workforce.
You know, you were talking about that military, workforce, you know, college, and your students, they do it all, don't they? They do all of that.
Yeah, and we're pretty proud of that. And I believe that students that leave us are known for their work ethic and their ability to achieve. So, I mean, coming from Cincinnati, if somebody told an employer they were from Mercer County, they would hire them on the spot. And that's from their upbringing, the values that are here in Coldwater. And it's just important to instill that at school as well as at home.
Isn't that nice? Talk about an advantage growing up. And in a cruel world, you got to use every advantage you can. And I've said for a long time, if you grow up here, growing up in America, period, is a great advantage. But even more so if you came from this community, you know?
You're right. And that's why I moved back, because of this community and the people here. And it's just refreshing when I get together with old colleagues, and they call this utopia, because I share with them, you know, we don't have a discipline problem. Our attendance rate is over 97%. And some of the data experts look at our data and say, you know, you are an anomaly, because schools don't have attendance rates like this. And some of it is their upbringing, but also some of it is the culture and climate that we've created here in Coldwater. You know, David before, he enjoys coming to school. He enjoys being around his peers. And that's what's important inside of a school.
And, you know, that's something I'm sure you can tell these students someday. You know, pick a job that you like to do, that you enjoy coming to. It's very different. I'm sure you and I could talk a long time about how much we enjoy what we do. Oh, sure, there's some stressful things and issues you deal with, but overall, when you like what you do, it shows. It makes a day go by a lot quicker.
The day goes by quicker. You feel better about yourself when you're doing things that are bigger than you. I think that's important, and that's what we try to show these kids and model for these students here, that it isn't just about you. It's about our whole organization and our whole community.
That is for sure. And, you know, I just had to chuckle a bit when you talked about the calculators and now they're on your phone. I remember when they had calculator watches. They were concerned about those when I was growing up, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we used to worry about. Now we don't worry about. You know, when I was in the first grade, I got paddled in the office. Well, we don't do that anymore. So times have changed, but we have adapted to those changes. And we will continue to adapt on the needs of this community and the needs of the workforce.
That's for sure. And I think also for you in our remaining moments, you know, as having, you know, your own career and all that you've gone through. But it's also generational with your family, right? Don't you have some kids that are also teachers, siblings, anything like that?
So I come from a family of five kids. Four of us are teachers. And my oldest brother is was the CEO of Fanning and Howie for 20 years, who designed schools. And then I have one son that's a teacher right now. So yeah, you know, just like David talking about being a financial advisor someday, I'm sure somebody in his family is a financial advisor, and that's what kids do. They gravitate to what they're familiar with.
That's true. And the encouragement we give them when you tell them, hey, I like what I do. Yeah, come on, son or daughter, let's do this. And it seems, but especially with education, I mean, gosh, it seems to be very rare that I ever talk to a superintendent or a teacher and they say that nobody else in their family does this. It usually tends to be that way.
Yeah, and you don't get in education for the money. You get into education to make a difference. And when you feel that you're doing something that is bigger than yourself, it just motivates you more. Because we put a lot of hours in, and it's all worth it, because you see the difference you're making in students' lives, and that's why everybody that gets into education does what they do.
All right, Doug. As always, certainly a pleasure to speak to you, and we thank you so much for welcoming us back. We've been looking forward to this week for a long time, and so we appreciate getting to talk with you. I understand your treasurer's up next, right?
Yeah, and she's really the brains behind everything. I told her this morning that she was a unicorn because she understands the needs of the staff, and it all directly goes back to the students. And she doesn't sit in her office and say no all the time. She really digs in, builds relationships with the staff, and I really couldn't do my job without her every day.
No question. I also want to thank TNT Auto, along with Schwederman Construction, Rich Plumbing, Enyard Interior Touch, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, and Kalb Pharmacy. As we are back to school at Coldwater, quick break. We'll meet Jen McCoy next, 96.7 The Wave. And again, we thank you so much for joining us for Back to School here at Coldwater. We're in the cafeteria, which I am pretty sure most people can tell. They hear what's in the background. I want to thank Ray's Refrigeration, McSports and Ernst Apparel, Playmore Lanes, Adventure Golf, Lottox Jewelry, and Cal Pharmacy. We're with Coldwater School Treasurer Jen McCoy. And, Jen, tell you what, if ever you want to see some kids in a good mood, hang out in the cafeteria, right?
This is the best place to be during the day. They're always happy and they're always loud.
You know, and it's funny, when we get food, we tend to be happy and loud, and as we get older, that does not change too much.
It doesn't change at all, nope.
So for you, let's hear a bit about you. How long have you been treasurer now?
So I've been a treasurer for 6 years and spent all 6 years here at Coldwater. I came from the private sector. I think I made a crazy decision to become a school treasurer the more and more I get into this, but I love the job, and just sitting here in this cafeteria reminds me of why I do it, and it's always for the kids.
Did you go to Coldwater yourself?
I went to St. Henry, graduated from St. Henry High School, moved on and went to Wright State University in Dayton, where I lived for 5 years while going to school, and got my degree in finance and management information systems. And from there, I met my husband, and when we decided to start having kids, we knew we had to move back to the area because we wanted our kids to go to the schools here in Mercer County because they're the best around.
That happens a lot, by the way. That's a story we hear repeatedly, and we never get tired of it.
Well, and even when I was going through school in Dayton, so many of my bosses that I would have throughout my school tenure there, and even my teachers, they all knew of Mercer County. And if I would go for a job interview, immediately they would say, well, we know we can hire you because we know we can rely on you because we know the kids that come from Mercer County. And we're just different, and we're disciplined, and we do it for the right reasons.
That's how my kids, I've told them growing up, you know, if you are punctual and you have a good work ethic, you are way ahead.
Yeah, way ahead. And employers talk to each other. And, you know, Dayton's, you know, an hour from here. And there's so many employers there that know of the county because of the kids that they're getting from it.
Let's also talk about, for example, you recently had the Ohio Association of School Business Officials Leadership Conference, and you know, people talk about like why treasurers do their job, and you know, for you, I know it's not an easy job, and you probably question your sanity sometimes, but I'm sure when it comes down to it, you're glad that you're the one to do this, right? You know, you got this, right?
Yep, I love the job, and it's not easy. It's never easy when you're dealing with public money, and when there's so much things that go into your decisions and how you always have to think about who it affects. So I attended this leadership conference last week, and it really reminded me of why I do this job. And the whole conference was based on why. And we do it for the kids. You know, treasurers aren't seen in a real positive light. You look at, you know, teachers get mad at us for saying no to supplies or equipment that they need in their classrooms. Superintendents may get upset when we say no to a big new idea that they've come up with. legislators get mad at us when we voice, you know, our facts against legislative proposals that we see will negatively affect the kids. The community gets mad at us, you know, when we need to go and ask for more tax revenue from them. So it's not a real positive position, and there really is a severe shortage of treasurers and superintendents throughout the state. So when David Deuce graduates from here, I'm going to find him, since he said he wants to be a financial planner, and I'll recruit him to be a treasurer. But there's a severe shortage, and there's a reason. But we were quickly reminded at this conference of why we do our job, and it's strictly for the kids. We don't do it for ourselves. We don't do it for the teachers, for the parents. We strictly do, you know, our jobs for the kids, and our decisions are based on that.
I would add, sometimes, you know, when you tell people the truth, and you said it doesn't always make you popular, but when it comes to what's going on in Columbus, it's kind of up to the individual school districts to kind of get together and say, listen, we don't know how you figured out this budget or this plan, but take it from those of us that work in the field. You actually can't do this. This will not work.
Right. Yep. Our sole purpose is to fight for our kids. We never want to reduce programs or reduce the experience that they get at our schools, especially here in Mercer County and here at Coldwater. So in some of those legislative decisions, we always, you know, we will fight back against. Some of them, you know, we win, some of them we don't, and we kind of just have to live with what we got.
Let's also hear about what makes up your revenues and how much, you know, control that you have. People might be surprised about that.
Yeah, so for school revenue, we have really little control over it. We are funded by state funds and local funds, and that's it. We're not like a business where we can go and make a new product to generate more revenue or increase prices on our products to generate more revenue. We're strictly ruled by what we get from the state and what we get from our local communities. So, for example, here at Coldwater, 58% of our funding comes from state funding and those legislative decisions that they make during the budget process. And that's not a lot of control we have over. We have our advocating groups, of course, but as my kids say and that they learned at school, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Now, and sometimes we have to throw that fit for these kids. And then the other side of our revenue comes from our local taxpayers, approximately 42%. That comes in, and that comes from the tax levies that we have to go to our communities and ask for, and that makes up the budget shortfall that we don't get from the state. So we have very little control over the money that comes into our school district, so we have to be extremely careful about the decisions we make around the money that we spend for it.
All right, and you know, obviously for some people, they talk about tax levies in Coldwater. I don't think that's really unique to Coldwater. I do see frequently when we cover elections that there are renewal levies on the ballot, different levies here and there from school districts. So it's a constant that people are asked to support their schools at the polls.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we're going to be seeing more and more of it with the reduced state funding that we're seeing. You know, the legislators, you know, they have given us more money in different ways. Some of it's restricted, some of it's not restricted, and we appreciate everything that they do give us. But some of the decisions that they've been making has cut our budget a bit, and so we just have to you know, tighten up our hatches and figure out how we can do the best with what we have. You know, we want the best for kids in all factions of life. Even as a mom of four kids, I want to give my kids everything I possibly can, but I know that's not possible. So we do the best with what we're given, and we try not to throw too much of a fit over it.
I also wanted to, you know, talk about some of the things that I think most people don't learn, but treasurers know what these are, superintendents, and also, you know, news directors who've been writing about schools, you know, forever. For example, like, we know the difference between an operating levy and permanent improvements and how one cannot be used for the other. And I can see where sometimes people would, you know, pass an operating levy and then you come and say, well, we need you to renew this one for permanent improvements, and not understand that this is a different thing. There's a reason that they're two different levies and they cannot be used on one another, you know?
Yeah, school financing is extremely difficult, and it's extremely difficult to try to explain to the community in a way that they'll understand it, because there's so many pieces to it, and different pieces and different funding models and different funding groups. So I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, our property taxes, which has been a limelight in the media here recently, and just some of the things that covers, and then I'll go on and talk about these levies. But the property taxes here that we pay, you know, the Gopher, of course, our educational services, as I had just said, it covers 42% of the revenues that come into our school here at Coldwater. But outside of those education services, the other things property taxes will pay for are the county services, like your sheriff's department, the court system, our county roads. And then you got your local services that it also pays for, and that's the police, fire, EMS, our local roads, our libraries, our local parks. And it's all the things that kids can take part in just for to further their kids' experience. And so I want to express how important the property tax is. And I know we all want less taxes and to pay less taxes, but we have to remember the services that they pay for and those vital services that we need in our communities. And those are the services that make up our community so well. And as far as our levies, you know, we have our property tax levies that can be for operating, and it can be for permanent improvement or bonds. And then there's the income tax levies. So there's different buckets we can go about when using our school funding. And we have to be really strategic in how we use them, because, of course, we never, ever want to go and ask for more money from the taxpayers, because that's the last thing people want to do. And that's the last thing I want to do as a treasurer is to go run a levy, because it's the worst part of my job. So being really strategic with our funds and our levies is extremely important.
Yeah, and it's obviously, certainly I know there's empathy when people say, hey, you know, we pay so many taxes already. You know, they do, but I sometimes I've always felt differently about what I pay locally versus what I send to Columbus or Washington, D.C. also.
For sure. Yeah, our local levies are extremely important, and it's why our communities here in Mercer County are the best, I believe, in the state. We have so much community support, and they see the importance of our schools and of our police and fire and EMS and all those services. So it's extremely important to us, and I want to highlight some of the tax relief that the community taxpayers will be seeing here in the next 5 years. We have a bond maintenance levy that expired in 2024, which collected here in 2025, because it collects a year in arrears. So they'll be seeing a $500,000 savings from that. That's $17.50 per $100,000 of evaluation for house. And then there's an emergency levy expiring here in tax year 2026 that'll be collected in 27. That'll save the taxpayer $70 per $100,000 evaluation. Or if you look at a $400,000 house, that'll save in $280 a year. So that'll be coming down the road. And then we have a bond levy expiring in tax year 29. So they'll see a savings of $52.50 per $100,000 of tax valuation. So we have some savings coming up here in the next 5 years, and I'm hoping that the Coldwater community will appreciate that, as we always appreciate their support. And hopefully we can continue, and it's my number one goal to get down past another 5 years without having to ask for another levy.
Hey, and I wouldn't bet against you. I'm sure you'll make it work. Jen, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Much appreciated. I also want to thank TNT Auto and Yurt's Interior Touch, Houghton Camp Funeral Home and Camp Pharmacy, along with Lodox Jewelry. Here we are at Coldwater and in the cafeteria, to be exact. I am Kevin Samley, your host. Thank you to Race for Duration, Claymore Lanes and Adventure Golf, with Sports and Ernst Apparel. Also, Lodox Jewelry and Camp Pharmacy and the Houghton Camp Funeral Home. We have with us now Eric Goodwin, who is the athletic director and transportation director here at Coldwater. And Eric, good to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Oh, it's good to see you, Kevin. I appreciate you guys doing this. And as always, I enjoy being on the radio. I keep telling my wife I want to have my own show someday. So we're ready.
That's great. Hey, we'll remember that, too. You can call it Lunch with Eric or something
like
that.
There you go.
For you, let's talk about, like, what's new. I know every year brings, you know, new challenges, new features to it. You know, what has all been going on this year, for example?
Well, our biggest new addition this year is we've got a new video scoreboard in the Palace, which has been tremendous. We'd like to thank all of our business sponsors for that. They've done an outstanding job, and our scoreboard was, it was time to get a new one in there. We're starting to lose connection. It's wireless, and we have a new video board in there that's absolutely unbelievable. And so that's our biggest, newest feature this year, and so we've been, I've been working on that. Matter of fact, just a little bit ago, I was in there getting the start-stop switch set up for the basketball season coming up. So that's our biggest new addition. It's been a very good blessing.
We've talked a bit about you know, technology. When Mr. Mader was here, we talked about how technology changes things in education and academics. Obviously, we know the impact that it's had in athletics. Even people that are, you know, pro sports fans, they know about things like analytics and how AI is being used to help write game plans and analyze players and performance. So obviously technology has come to your world too, hasn't it?
Well, technology is unbelievable right now in the world of athletics. It's probably what's going to drive me out of here someday. I always sit there and say that, you know, on my desk there's a sheet of paper that has 40 websites I have to use every day. And of course, all the different usernames and passwords and everything, they're all listed there. And of course, I put it away so nobody can see it. But that's just how much we have to use technology anymore in the world of athletics. And it's just amazing. Like, we've added a new athletic website this year. And with that, there's also a app that goes with it. And of course, I have to learn all those things and figure those things out. But even with the app, when I go to put a score on, then it'll say, do you want an AI breakdown of the game? And then I'll always say yes, and then I'll send an AI breakdown, and I, of course, I add that to the game and so forth. It's kind of interesting, though. You got to be careful. Like, we had a golf match. I was putting a score on, and I put the AI breakdown on, and it said it was obviously a beautiful day out on the golf course, and the crowd was going crazy for the Coldwater Cavaliers, and I kept thinking, we don't have cheering at golf matches, so I had to delete that part off. But technology is probably the number one thing we have to use anymore in athletics.
Yeah, I'm learning, you know, use it as a tool or use it as a guide, because it does do things like that.
Yeah, and, without a question, yeah. Yeah, you've got, if you go too far with it, you can really get yourself in trouble. Therefore, you just got to, you can't rely on it. You just got to use it, you know, for the best ways possible. But if you rely on it solely, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And you got to keep that personal connection, whether it's writing up an article or whatever it may be. You have to do that. It's just some things there is no personal connection, like when I'm trying to run the scoreboard in here and figure that out, or the video board out at the stadium and so forth. And it can be difficult at times, but, yeah, it's fun stuff.
A lot of being an AD seems to be planning for the future. I mean, you probably are planning for games years out, right?
Yeah, without a question. Our football schedule, you know, for the next 3 years, I've got our non-league game set. But obviously for our MAC games, we do a two-year rotation. So after November, or first of November, when all of the league games are done, we'll determine the rotation again in the league. And the problem with that is it does hold up some other things, because I can't schedule soccer matches until I have the football schedule. And so it does hold some things out. But otherwise, for our varsity games, for basketball and some of the spring sports and so forth, we have schedules out 2, 3, 4 years in advance.
Another thing also, I mean, there are teams you will play every year. I'm thinking football right now, but you know, you will play them every year, but the difference is next year, then they don't come here. You go to them, right?
Yeah, without a question. We've been very fortunate on our non-league games. Some schools have trouble or concern or complain that they have troubles finding a week one and two game. I've been doing this for 28 years, and we've been pretty successful as a football program, and I've never had a problem finding a week one or two game. And sometimes you got to be willing to play up a little bit, play some good teams, and we've done that. Like this year, we had Valley View on there, Germantown Valley View, and Clinton Massey, they're both perennial football powerhouses. But we're willing to play them, and then we've been fortunate those schools have renewed, so we're set with those for another 3 years, even after this year. So, it's good. It's challenging.
Yeah, I don't think you can really lose in that situation. I'm sure those kids are excited to come here, or if it's a road game, your kids are excited to take a trip a little farther away and see a different, you know, stadium, et cetera.
Yeah, without a question. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stories I could tell you about finding our non-league football games. Actually, one year, I hate to say it, but one year I called up the school, and it was Indianapolis School for the Deaf, and I did not know anything about them. And Coach Reed, we was having trouble finding a game, so Coach Reed said, well, see what you can find out. So and when I called him on the phone, there would be a tone, and then I'd talk into it, and then it would be repeating back to me like a computer. And of course, then I understood why and what it was. But it was funny as I called another school, which I do. I call other schools to see where these schools are at and, you know, in their programs. And they said, well, you know, they're a good program, but you just got to be careful because they'll hit you after the whistle. And I never thought about things like that. And they said they start the games by the beat of a drum, but they can't hear the whistles, so they will hit you after the whistles and stuff like that. We ended up not playing them. We found another game instead. But there's a lot of interesting things over the years that we have done to create games and some interesting opportunities we've had to play some different opponents across the state and even in Indiana.
Do you get a lot of compliments, from out-of-towners that get to come to Coldwater and then enjoy coming here to play?
Oh, without a question. They love our community. They love our schools. They love our facilities. Our basketball gym was built in 91, and I still say it's one of the best ones around, even though the new ones have all come out since then. When they built this back in 91, I'm not taking credit for that. It was before me. But they did an excellent job of building it. But one of my main goals when I got here, I didn't want to have any issues with media. And so one of my main goals when I got here was I wanted to build press facilities for media that would sustain our programs for years to come. And we've been fortunate to do that. And our gymnasium, we can set 58 media members up there. And no other high school in Ohio can have 58 media members at a game. And then we did the same thing for football and, of course, baseball and now softball. We built some great media areas for our media. And so not only does the opponents love coming here, their fans, but also I think the media likes coming here as well.
And for you personally, obviously you know what you have here. Do you have like other, you know, schools, towns, facilities that you enjoy getting to go to as a visitor because they do a good job and it's just part of your job. You get to see all these other places. That has to be pretty fun.
Oh, without a question. One of the neatest things, and people probably think I'm crazy, but when I go to schools, I will just walk the hallways. I just start walking around the hallways. I look at this. I look at that. When I go to an outdoor stadium or a track or whatever, I just kind of walk around. I look around. People think I'm probably crazy. I'm just wandering around. But, a long time ago, Bobby Knight always said, good coaches know what to steal from other good coaches, just like our Ring of Honor in here. I actually got that idea when I was at Van Wert, and they had some pictures of some All-State players up in there. And so I created the Ring of Honor in here. And, of course, the Ring of Honor comes after the Dallas Cowboys. But I created that in here based off what I saw at Van Wert and our press box in the gym. I created that off of what I saw at LCC. So I really like to steal from other programs what they do. And schools do it to us too, which is awesome. It's a great compliment. But that's one of my favorite things.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Absolutely.
I just think that sounds better than telling everyone, all right, Eric says you can steal.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And you're right. Those are great, you know, ideas. And obviously a lot of great, other schools, districts, educators. Obviously the only difference is that they're not orange and black, right? I mean, you know, you're rivals, you're friendly like that in that sense, but obviously when it comes down to it, you're all colleagues.
Oh, without a question. And you know, when we have our league meetings or even when we have district meetings and so forth, you know, there's a lot of respect going back and forth. You know, we may talk about each other a little bit, kidding around and stuff like that, how we want to beat St. Henry or how we want to beat Versailles. But, you know, at the bottom line, when we're not playing them and they're playing a non-league opponent, we want them to do well. And it's just like our opponents when we play Clinton Massey and Valley View week 1 and 2. Obviously, yes. We get a big benefit off of computer points, but we also want to see them win because we want to say we played the best and we beat the best, or even if we, like this year, we lost to Clinton Massey, but right now they're 7-1. So we played the best, you know, some of the best teams, and we really enjoy working with these schools and these athletic directors with those things.
Eric, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for stopping by.
Yep, without a question. Thank you.
All right, and that's Eric Goodwin as we do Back to School here at Coldwater. This is a Back to School here at Coldwater. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you to Hope Camp Funeral Home, Enyart's Interior Touch, along with Rich Plumbing and TNT Auto. I've got Zane Keller with me now, student here at Coldwater. Zane, how are we doing? What grade are you in?
I'm in the eighth grade.
All right. For you, Zane, talk to us, if you would, about what you really enjoy most about coming to school.
Really what I most enjoy coming to school is having friends and meeting friends, really just being together and in the classroom learning.
And for you, you know, when you're not in the classroom, what are some of the other, like, sports and activities you're involved in?
Sports are baseball, basketball, and football, and then I do track also, and I like to run and play sports.
Wow. Are any of those sports your favorite in particular, or do you enjoy them all?
I enjoy them all mostly, but I'd say my favorite would be basketball.
All right. That's a great game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very fun, very competitive.
That is for sure. For you, someday when you're done with school, do you have any idea what you want to do in the future?
I want to do something with math. I like math. That's my favorite subject.
All right. You know, there's a lot of really good jobs you can have if you're good at math.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been told that, right?
Yep.
For you, do you have any siblings that go here? Did your parents come to Coldwater?
No. My parents actually went to St. Henry, but my three older sisters went to Coldwater. They played sports as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, we appreciate getting a chance to talk with you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciated as we get to meet Zane Keller. And coming up here, 96.7 The Wave, we're going to welcome. We got Kyle Arns to the program here, going to talk about softball. Kyle, we'll give you a minute here to kind of come in and, you know, kind of get situated, if you will. And so, first of all, Kyle, thanks. Thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And I understand you got a guest with you, I see, right?
I do. So this is my 7-year-old son, EJ. He's a first grader, so.
All right. Yeah. EJ, over there, what do you like most about coming to school? What's your favorite thing?
Reading.
All right. That's a good sign. How cool is it to have your dad here at the school? How do you feel about that?
Awesome.
Yeah, that is really, really neat. For you, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Two sisters.
Are they older or younger?
Younger.
Okay. Are they in kindergarten or anything yet?
No.
Not yet. Okay. What do you want to do someday when you grow up? That's a tough one, huh?
Be a gym teacher.
Okay. There you go. Be a gym teacher. I love it. All right. Thank you so much. Kyle, first of all, you know, share with us. I understand you're here to talk about softball today, first of all, right? Let's hear about that.
Yeah, so I am the head varsity softball coach during the spring. This is going into year 7 for that. So we've built, I feel like we're building a pretty good program. And excited about spring getting here.
I bet you are, yeah. And that's something that, you know, that people don't understand. They know, you know, like, what time the season starts, but when do you really start practicing and talking to them?
So our first official day is like the middle of February. I feel like we start earlier and earlier every year, and then we're stuck inside for about 6 or 7 weeks until we can get out, you know, depending on the weather. So yeah, about the middle of February we'll get officially started.
I think most baseball fanatics are excited in February because they know that's when pitchers and catchers report, right? Like, we know we're getting close.
Yeah, that's it. It gives you a little bit of hope that warm weather's around the corner, but you just never know here in Ohio what we're going to get for a while.
Is there anything more, you know, heartening and gratifying than the start of a new baseball season? Because when you first start out, it's like everybody thinks they're going to win the championship. You know, hope springs eternal, right?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting, you know, especially for us because we're stuck inside for so long. You know, there's been years past where our first time getting outside is the first week of our first game. So it's always exciting when a new season's coming around. You got new seniors and new freshmen in. And so, yeah, it's always exciting when a season starts.
Share with us also, you know, for anybody that's listening outside the community, how has the softball team done over the years? They've done well, right?
Yeah, we've had some good success over the last 6 years. 2 years ago, we won a district title. Got to regionals. I think it was 4 years ago we won the MAC, and that was the first time in about 15 to 20 years. So we're building it. We're building it slowly, but it's been a lot of fun.
True. I think people don't always understand how competitive it is, right? Either within the MAC or once you go on to state and you feel pretty good about, you know, how things are going, and then you meet these incredible teams, right?
Yeah.
It's a very stiff competition.
Yeah, so our league, obviously the MAC, is incredibly tough, and I feel like MAC softball has gotten so much better over the last 10 to 15 years. You know, you just had Mr. Goodwin on here, and he does us no favors with our non-conference schedule, so I feel like we're always pretty battle-tested.
Not a bad thing, though, right?
Right, absolutely. That's the way you want it, and that's why you do it. You enjoy those close games, and so, yeah.
Is that something you have to, you know, help them with as far as don't celebrate a victory too long? Don't dwell over a loss either, right?
Yeah, well, especially in our sport because we're playing 5 or 6 games a week. So, you know, we always tell the kids, like, you get a couple of hours to enjoy it because a lot of times you're playing the next day. So whether it's a win or a loss, you got to move on pretty quickly.
And for you, share with us a bit about your background, where you came from, where you went to school.
Yeah, so I graduated from Coldwater in 2008. And then after going to college, I spent some time teaching and coaching softball at Parkway. So I feel like Mark Esselstein, a Hall of Fame softball coach at Parkway, I learned a lot underneath him. And then I've been at Coldwater the last 7 years, so got a lot of good experience by my time at Parkway, but it's nice to be home.
How about also the difference for people that have not had much involvement in softball, the difference between, you know, baseball and softball? Some of the basic rules are the same, but very different.
Yeah, right? The game is just so much quicker. When I first got into softball, I thought, yeah, I'm just not too sure about this. But once I started coaching it, I mean, I was hooked. You know, I love baseball too, but the game of softball is just so much quicker.
One of the greatest T-shirts I've ever seen was it had a picture of an athlete, you know, pitching underhanded, and it said, "You wish you could throw like a girl," right? I mean, how they can pitch, for example.
Yeah. It's not easy. I mean, pitching in softball, it's a sport within a sport. You really, really have to work at it. But yeah, it's not easy.
That's for sure. And even as a hitter, people think, oh, this is easy. It's a bigger ball. I'll do it. And you hit it as hard as you can, and it could go nowhere.
Yeah, well, and then you're 43 feet away from a pitcher, too. So you get some of these pitchers that are throwing 60 mile an hour. That ball's at you pretty quick.
Yeah, that's one of those things where when people understand this.
Yep.
Right, how many innings do you play?
Seven
innings?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good amount.
It is, and like I said, our games with just the shorter distances, you know, we can, if you have two really good pitchers going at it, we can be done in an hour and 15 minutes. So the games, the decisions you have to make within the game, it's very quick.
Yeah, who needs a pitch clock,
yeah,
right?
Let's just keep going.
Let's just keep playing. That is a lot of fun. So, you know, for you, when you're built on that success, I'm sure word gets around, and you get players that want to play, right? You got to probably have tryouts and all those things.
Yeah,
right?
So that's one thing we're working on is building our numbers right now. A lot of it starts at our youth leagues. I feel like you've got to get the younger kids involved and get them to just have fun and enjoy the game. Our summer program for our youngest kids, we turn off the scoreboards. We just go out there, have fun, enjoy it, be with your friends. So we're slowly building those numbers, and that's one of our goals as we move forward.
Excellent. And also, for you, you talk about, this is, you know, what you coach. Any other, activities, sports you're involved in besides softball?
I did junior high football for a couple of years.
Okay.
Two sports got to be a lot.
I bet it did.
Yeah. So, but I teach elementary gym here, which is kindergarten through fourth grade. So getting to see every kid in our elementary school every week is pretty cool. Like having my son, I really enjoy that. So
also the importance of teaching them athletics at that age, in junior high sports. I'm sure people understand this too as they're listening. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Coach Otten and others appreciate, you know, the effort you make, because someday they're going to get those players, right?
Yeah, and it's hard. It's a lot of time and sacrifice that you give up. You know, and there's just a lot of life lessons that you can teach through sports. So it's just feel like it's one thing that I'm called to do, and have really enjoyed it.
How about also, share with us this one too, as I noticed you're wearing an Indiana shirt. So what's your connection with the Hoosiers?
No real connection other than when I was little, just became an IU fan for some reason. It started out with basketball. It started with that, and then, you know, it grew through football too. So I'm really enjoying the last two seasons. So
that's
what
I wanted to. Yeah. As soon as I saw that on you, what a tremendous victory over Oregon. I'm not going to be so bold as to say that I saw it coming.
Right.
But I just thought anybody that thinks Oregon's going to roll them over has not been watching Indiana football this year. I kind of thought about like what they did to Illinois, for example, and I just figured they were not going to be afraid to go out to Eugene. But what a tremendous victory.
And it's amazing what Kurt Cignetti has done when you can get kids to buy into what you believe. And just, you know, teach kids how to fight, you know, and that's what he's done, and kids to believe in themselves and no self-imposed limitations. And it's remarkable.
You know, sometimes also I'm sure even you do this in your coaching. You also show like the real life examples of an upset. Like I'm pretty sure Indiana's coach was able to talk to his players and say, look, did anyone think UCLA was going to beat Penn State, for example? Never think you're not in the game. Any given day, anybody can beat anybody.
Right. You know? The bottom line is you got to believe in yourself. I tell my students that, my athletes that, at the end of the day, you have to believe in yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes after a big upset, they interview the coach and they say, well, I'm not surprised. I believed in these kids. Hey, they're not being arrogant. That's the way you got to be, right?
And as a coach, you have to, because if you don't believe in your kids, then they're not going to believe in themselves. So you got to set the example yourself.
That's for sure. What did I say? Like, success begets success.
Yeah, it does. Yep. And it's, like I said, a lot of learning opportunities as a coach, and you really got to take advantage of them.
And I'm sure also there are times where a game doesn't go the way you want it to, and you can use that as a teaching tool, right? And say, look, let's talk about why this happened. And no, I'm not mad at you, but this is what we have to work on, because this is what broke down today.
Right. And, you know, in sports and life, things aren't going to go your way at times, and it's all about how you respond to it.
That's for sure. And that's another thing. Sometimes, you know, when two teams have already played, it's not like the next game is going to go exactly the same. Somebody learned something, right?
Yeah, on any given day. And that's what you just got to show up, you know, at the ball diamond or the field or whatever, and show up and 110%.
That's for sure. You know, for you also, talking about how things are going at this point in the year with gym, when you get your students in gym, I'm sure there's quite a difference between what you're working on with them in the beginning of the year and then what you start to work on as the year progresses.
Yeah, so we do a lot of kicking and throwing. Like right now, we're getting the scooters out, and the kids love that stuff. But yeah, when you go from kindergarten to fourth grade, you know, a lot of it's changing rules within a game and just what they're able to do. But it's so fun seeing them walk into the gym because they're so excited to be there.
Wow, that brings back memories. The scooters, I remember those. Yeah.
So the kids, they love getting on those things and just flying around. And yeah, it's a good time.
Like little bumper cars.
Yeah, so when the kindergartners come in, I actually get on the scooters, you know, and I fly around the gym a little bit too and show them how it's done, so it's fun for me.
Keep doing that for as long as you can. One of these days, it will not be easy to get off that thing, right?
Then I can just make a video and show them.
Yeah, this is what I used to do. Exactly. Do it like this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
How important it is also, we hear constantly, you know, that you really have to, you know, be... I guess, you know, you're physically active. And for us, when we grew up, I'm sure you had video games when you grew up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite like it is now, when it was so digital, so, you know, connected like it is now. There still were times when you knew, I'm turning this off, we're going to go play outside. You got to fight that now, right?
Yeah, well, it's just through, you know, activities with other kids. It's just the conversations that you can have and problem solving. And, you know, you don't necessarily get all that stuff looking at a screen. You know, so a lot of our games that we do, there's strategies, and the kids have to talk to each other.
I was going to also say, too, as a teacher, a gym teacher, mind you, and coach, here's a Here's one for you. Probably not realistic to think that kids would never eat candy, of course, but I'm sure you talk to them and say, look, you want to be an athlete, you want to be competitive. I'm sure you talk to them about, you know, how you eat, what's in your diet.
Yes,
right?
Smart choices. You know, and that stuff's fine. It's just moderation. You know, it's nothing wrong with having a piece of candy and all that, but yeah, smart choices at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's, and you know, and little things that might be, look, We enjoy a good can of Coke or Pepsi as much as anybody, but let's get some water into that yeah. diet.
Water's right? good for you.
Yeah, yeah. And they might look at you funny and say, sorry, but, you know, Mom and Dad were right. Your doctor was right.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There's ways to spruce up that water a little bit, so just got to find those extra ways.
I've learned, too, as you get older, sometimes, you know, you've been playing outside, it's hot, you want to grab some cola, and you realize that's actually going to make you a little more thirsty.
Yeah, and then it just makes it feel worse in about an hour, too. So, you know, try to promote those healthy choices for them. And like yeah. I said, you don't want to take all that stuff away from them, but just expose them to what else is out there.
For you. Also for you, how has technology worked its way into what you do?
So that's been an interesting part to learn about. So I've actually been using an iPad to film some of the games and activities we've been doing. And then I can show it to the kindergartners specifically so they can see exactly how the game is played. So I'm learning a little bit on how to use the technology in gym. But at the end of the day, you want those kids moving in there.
I was going to say you know, how we hear about, you know, AI can use everything from lesson plans. I'm sure it gives you some ideas, either from calisthenics or activities that are new, that are going to excite them.
Yeah, the resources out there are truly incredible. But yeah, like I said, when they come into the gym, you want to get them up and moving. So,
all right, and that's you know, obviously something, you know, that you do as you know, as time goes by. And so we appreciate you know, an opportunity, obviously, to get to talk with you. And I'll tell you what. You know, I hope I don't draw anybody's ire, but sometimes it's nice to see different programs win. And so I definitely wish the Hoosiers well.
Hey, I appreciate
that. It's fun to
watch. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, one game at a time. One game at a time.
Another thing, too, people should do, study Bob Knight. I know he was kind of known for his temper or whatever, yeah. but put that away for a minute and look at some of the things that man said or did. He was someone to learn from.
Yeah, he got his kids to perform at a high level.
And graduate.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what Kurt Cignetti's doing, so go Hoosiers.
You got that right. Thank you. Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to meet Aaron Alec next. Again, thank you to Kyle. I also want to thank Cal Pharmacy, Lavix Jewelry, Ray's Refrigeration, McSports, and Ernst Apparel as we continue on 96.7 The Wave. And welcome back. It is Coldwater's Back to School. I'm Kevin Sandler. I want to thank TNT Auto, Schwederman Construction, and Rich Plumbing, along with Enyard Interior Touch and Hogan Camp Funeral Home. For girls wrestling, we have Coach Aaron Alec and many of his wrestlers, I understand, right?
That's correct, Kevin.
So let's begin. Let's talk to who our first athlete is. Tell us, first of all, we'll start with your name, what grade you're in. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Nora Wercamp. I am a senior at Coldwater High School. This is my third year doing girls wrestling. I also do band, steel drum, drama, and a lot of other things.
Kevin, I can't hear you.
What do you do in your spare time?
In my spare time, I don't know. I'm really busy with all my school stuff, but I also work at Wine Inns and Maria Stein as a barista and just assorted things.
Let's talk about, you know, one thing, you know, for you too. What got you into wrestling? What is it about the sport you enjoy so much?
My brother actually did it in seventh grade, and I remember I went to one of his tournaments, and I really liked the sport, just watching it. It was interesting to me. And then the next year, so I would have been a freshman in high school then. The next year, they decided that they wanted to make it a club, so I decided I'd join.
Are you excited for one last year since you're a senior?
Yep, I'm really excited. I think I can do a lot more this year from what I've learned previously.
And for you, when you're done with high school, what's next for you?
I'm currently planning on attending Ball State University, majoring in architecture.
Excellent. Good school, by the way. All right, there you have it, Aaron. That's your first athlete, and we're going to move on and meet our next person here as we are doing back to school. And how are we doing? Tell us your name. What grade are you in?
Hi, my name's Abby Alec, and I'm going to be a freshman. Or I am a freshman.
You are a freshman. All right. Hey, we're nice to freshmen on this program. So for you, what got you into wrestling?
So I've kind of been around wrestling my entire life. My dad coaches, and then my brothers have always been into it. So I've kind of just grown up with wrestling.
And for you, do you find that the upperclassmen are a good influence, that they're good mentors for you?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot to learn, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
How have things gone in this first year for you?
They've been going really good. We've been very successful as a team, and I've done pretty good individually. So, yeah.
You see, you've won a few matches, right?
Yep.
When you do win a match, I'm sure Coach teaches you this too about being a good sport. I'm sure you definitely have respect for your opponent, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. So, you talk to us about practicing. I mean, aside from the matches, how many days a week do you practice?
So we practice every day after the boys. So we practice from like around 5 to 7-ish.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
You know, Aaron, we got some more that we're going to talk to, and some of them, you know, I know we appreciate their time. Some of them, I know it's their first time on the radio, I understand. So let's hear about this. What's your name? What grade are you in?
My name's Bailey Seiber. I'm a sophomore.
All right, Bailey, you're a sophomore. You had to think for a moment there. That's okay. For you, what is it about wrestling that draws you in so much? And for you, you know, how have things gone so far? Is this your second year?
Yes. This will be my third year.
Third year in wrestling. How have you been able to get better every year? What have you seen get better each time?
I think I've gotten a lot more confident in taking shots and probably working up muscle.
Good for you. What would you like to do someday when you're done with high school?
She's sounding good, but just make sure she's up near the microphone. She's getting distant.
Yeah. I actually have no idea.
That's all right. We don't. It's hard to make those calls at this age. Yeah, we'll let you think about that for a couple years. Excellent. All right, let's meet our next athlete. Come on down here. And first question we have for you is, tell us your name. What grade are you in?
I'm Jade Lipphauser, and I'm a sophomore.
And you're a sophomore. And how long have you been wrestling?
For about 2 years now.
When was there any previous wrestling in your family?
Yes.
Okay, who else wrestled?
My big brother.
Okay, What did Big Brother have to say when you told him you were going to wrestle?
He was, like, very supportive of it. He really wanted me to do it.
Cool. What have you learned, like, the training that you have to do? Because, obviously, it's an incredibly competitive sport, and I imagine a lot of it is simply about strength, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess I learned, to be, more rough with people and, really more competitive.
Excellent. Do you have any goals for this year? Like, how far you want to go?
I want to try to make it to districts.
Okay, very good. How many meets do you generally have a year?
We got a full schedule this year, so we're looking at about, I'd say, eight tournaments.
Eight tournaments.
And a couple of duels in there. We usually duel Salina, and then we try to pick up a couple others along the way.
And for you, after you have done some wrestling, what's the kind of aftercare like? Are you a little sore or tired? I mean, what do you do so that you don't hurt, right?
Well, I usually take, a hot, warm, bath just to loosen up my muscles and to, let them relax. And then I just don't go, my hardest during practice, so I let my body rest.
Good plan. Good plan. Now, I understand we have another athlete we're going to meet, right, Coach? One more we're going to talk to. We want to make sure everybody gets in gets in some time.
We got nine girls on the team this year, but these are the five that have experience from previous seasons.
All right, let's hear about your name and what grade are you in?
My name's Melissa Vina, and I'm a freshman right now.
Freshman. All right, for you, is wrestling something that's new for you?
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to it?
Sorry, what?
I said, what drew you to wrestling?
Why do you wrestle?
Oh, it's like a way to get my anger issues out in case, like, you know, I have, like, nothing else to do. And also, I joined it because, like, my brother did it. So it's, like, much more easier because, like, he kind of, like, shows me something, like, moves at home.
I bet he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brothers and sisters, siblings do have a tendency to invent their own wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. Well, hey, he better watch out, not get on the wrong side of your anger issues, right?
That's right.
For you, how has it gone so far? Have you had some success on the mat?
Mm-hmm. Some wins, some loss, but so far it's been great.
I'm sure you learn a lot from a loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I should have done this more, yeah. Or sometimes I'm sure you just have to write it off and say, well, that opponent was really strong, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's also really helpful when, like, coach obviously tells me, like, what I could have done better, or, like, if I ask him, like, what I did wrong, and then, like, he just tells me afterward. That
Excellent.
Helps.
For you, how long do you want to take this? Do you want to wrestle for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very nice. Very good. Coach, question for you is... share with us, too, how many different classes are there in wrestling? How does this work in terms of weight and opponents and everything?
So there's 14 weight classes for the high school girls. There's more for junior high. But speaking strictly for high school, there's 14 weight classes. The lowest weight class is 100 pounds. So in order to wrestle weight class, you got to be below that weight at the weigh-ins at the start of the day. The highest weight class is you can't weigh over 235 pounds. And then it's broken up, not necessarily like even throughout there, but there's 14 total weight classes.
All right, so obviously if somebody's in the same weight class, no advantage there. It seems like, is it accurate to say that what really would decide a match is a combination of strength and also some cunning, some strategy?
Oh, yeah. We got strategy going in most matches. Each girl's got their strengths and weaknesses. Melissa's, like she said, she's really aggressive. She's good with the headlock. Abby knows the chicken wings really well. So each girl's kind of got their own area that they're really good at. And we try to hone in on that when we go into matches and use their strengths to their advantage.
And some of that also remind people, too, that have never wrestled, what the object is, right? There's ways to score points, and then you pin your opponent. There's a one count. This is not, WCW
yes.
stuff. You get a one count, right?
Correct, yes. So if you get both shoulder blades on the mat, no matter who's winning at that time, both shoulders hit, it's automatically over. I think all the girls at one point in time or another have been in a match where they're maybe losing by 5 or 10 points. They turn that opponent over, it's automatically over, and you win. But if no one's able to get on their back, then it's based on points. You got takedowns and near exposure and escapes and reversals.
All right. Now, for you, before you did this, you wrestled yourself, right?
Correct. When I was in high school, I was a wrestler. We had just high school wrestling when I was in school, but now we have junior high wrestling. And then 3 years ago, we expanded into the girls. The OHSAA made it a school sport or an official sport. So they got their own state tournament now, their own districts, their own sectionals, just like the boys. So I had a daughter coming up through who's really interested in it. She wrestled all six brothers at home. And so we're like, well, if she wants to do it, we might as well open up to any girl that wants to. And so we've grown every year. This is the best numbers we've had yet with 9 girls on the team.
As far as you talked about, you know, some of the holds, how many different ones are there? And also share with us, what are some of the things that are not allowed?
Well, there's a lot of holds. I don't think you put a number on the amount of holds there are. Every school is different. What we call a butcher, Slinai know calls a barbed wire. So it's kind of a homegrown, naming your own things. We got a move we called the Canote after a guy that wrestled here 25 years ago. Some things that aren't allowed, like a full Nelson, can't do that. If you do a headlock, you got to have an arm with it. You can't just grab them by the neck and rip them down. A little dangerous, but everywhere, you know, it's endless. You can invent your own move even, so.
And also, as far as safety is concerned, there's equipment that they wear. I mean, there's no guarantee of anything, but you're on a mat. There's headgear, right?
Correct, and you got the headgear. The headgear is to help prevent cauliflower ear. Where the skin gets ripped away from the cartilage and it kind of swells up, might get scar tissue in there. So that helps prevent all that. Some kids like to wear knee pads. It's optional. Every kid's a little bit different. But, yeah, other than that, there's really not a whole lot of equipment besides those headgear. Maybe if you got some, like, concussion issues or special headgear, you can wear for that. But as a whole, not a whole lot of equipment.
For you, when you got to wrestle, how far did you take it? Just high school, or?
I just wrestled in high school, yep. I made it to the state tournament my senior year.
Excellent. How neat is that? Was that here? Or?
So I was the first one in 14 years to make it to the state tournament. It was down in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center, which was brand new back then. And it was like a sold-out event, so it was packed. So it was pretty cool. Kind of, I'd never seen it before, so it was a little interesting.
Wrestling also in general in this area seems to be catching on. We are seeing kids go to Columbus quite a bit.
Correct, yeah. So it seems about every year we're starting to get kids there. Salina, who's probably one of our biggest rivals, they're doing a great job. James Miracle down there is doing a lot of good things with their program. He started up a girls program as well. St. Mary's had a state champ the other year, which is really exciting for this area. Minster starting up wrestling, Fort Recovery starting it up. Parkway's been doing it for a while. So it's really catching on in the Mercer County area. And a lot of football players and wrestling kind of overlap. So like Coach Otten, for example, he was a great wrestler when he was in high school. So there's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, and for some people, a sport that maybe for them, not everybody knows what to do with a basketball. Not everybody can kick or pass or block, right? But they can do this.
Oh, correct. And it's for people of all sizes and abilities, you know. You don't need to know a whole lot coming in. I know like Melissa here, she is a prime example. Last year, she knew nothing other than what her brother taught her. But she's just a decent athlete and comes out and wins over half her matches just that first year.
I'm sure, you know, for any potential, you know, young girl that wants to get into wrestling, you probably just want them to bring an open mind and a good attitude. You'll take it from there, right?
That's perfect. I like that, Kevin. Open mind, you know, have a good attitude, wanting to learn. And, you know, we don't practice with the boys. We don't even interact with the boys. It's completely separate, just like a girls' basketball team and a boys' basketball team, two separate sports.
That's for sure, but you can't be responsible if any older brothers get a big mouth and end up with cauliflower ears. That's not your fault. I just want you to know that.
That's correct, yes. So I know a lot of them have brothers that wrestle or had wrestled. And so, yeah, what happens at home, I have nothing to do with.
That's correct. Another thing, too, that I talked a bit with Kyle, but give you a chance to talk about this, too. I'm sure you emphasize the importance not of just the exercise and the training, but you know, nutrition. If you're into a sport, you just don't get away with some eating habits that other kids do, right?
Correct. Especially with wrestling, you know, you might have a weight class you got to make and things like that. So we really emphasize the diet, like a healthy diet. We want the kids eating. We want them getting in their calories. If they're not eating, they don't have energy. So we really focus on what's healthy foods to eat. You know, when's a good time to eat foods and things like that. Like eating a big meatball sub after weigh-ins, not a good idea. Eating that the night before, probably a good idea. So, you know, making sure we talk carbohydrates and proteins and making sure they're well prepared, you know, both physically and then, you know, with their nutrition and diet.
I'll tell you what, carbs taste so good, but unfortunately there's kind of a price you pay, whether it's sluggishness or,
yes,
you know, what happens when when you get the carb crash, right?
That's correct. So it's all about timing.
And,
it's all about timing.
And I'm sure you can't just live on protein only.
Correct, yes. So, you know, it's a good mixture. You know, you got to get some healthy fats in there also to help with the energy.
That's what it's about. And some other things, too, like a lot of things in life. I think life is a series of trade-offs, and you realize that, okay, maybe you can't have that candy bar all the time anymore. But now, if you've given that up, look at the doors it opens for you in your wrestling game, so to speak.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. So, you know, sacrifice, you know, can pay off big time in the end. And that's a good trait to have in life, and just to learn that, you know when to do things, when not to do them, and sacrifice can be rewarding.
Have you found that previous experience in wrestling, that there were some real life lessons in there that served you well?
There's always a lot of real life lessons there, whether you're in a bad spot, bad position, you know, you can always come out of it. Just to never give up is a big part of it.
That's great stuff there. So, all right. You know, Aaron, good to see you again. I know... when we start tomorrow, I know you're going to be back because obviously we'll talk more wrestling. That'll probably be about the boys, right?
Correct. So tomorrow I'll be here with all the boys, or five of the boys, not all of them. But yeah. We'll do this again tomorrow.
And that'll be certainly a lot of fun. And then also we're going to catch up with Denise Peterson. We're going to talk drama and music, Austin Plyman. We're going to talk some golf. We got some kindergarten teachers. And I don't know about you, Aaron. I think kindergarten teachers are among the most brave and noble people on the planet. I can't imagine a room full of five-year-olds.
Well, I got two kindergartners now, and I can't, you know, say enough praise about their teacher and what she has to put up with. So.
And and of course, you know, Coach Otten, we'll call him a legend, right?
I would say he's there. Yeah, he's a legend. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's done a lot of great things for Coldwater. So he's a great guy.
We're gonna do Thad Forstoffel. We'll be here to talk about you know, the Ethics Bowl.
Yeah, Mr. So. Forstoffel's kind of a legend in the classroom around here, also as a coach. So, great guy.
I tell you what, it just got real quiet in here. And
I know.
It's almost unnerving. Like, did we get in trouble?
That's what I was wondering myself.
I want to thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you to your athletes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, you all did good, especially the ones who were nervous. You all came through just great. I want to say that. So, thank you to everybody. Thank you to Mr. Mater for all these guests. Thank you to Brent for helping with the setup and coordinating guests and everybody. Thank you to the guests, Doug Mater, Jen McCoy, Eric Goodwin, Kyle Arns. Thank you to Aaron Alec, who'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you to Ray's Refrigeration, also Mick Sports and Ernst Apparel, along with Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf. Thank you to Laudix Jewelry, Cal Pharmacy, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, Enyart's Interior Touch, Rich Plumbing, along with Schwederman Construction and TNT Auto. And also a very special thank you to our producer today, Lee Kieser. And so we'll wrap up Monday here at Coldwater Schools. We'll be back tomorrow at 11:30. So long.